Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of our Artist Spotlight. I've got a very special guest with me today. I've got Mr. Derek Ryan. And I know I'm saying that right, because I made sure to ask.
That's very courteous of you.
UCC alumni and former artistic director or artistic producer?
It's an arbitrary title anyways, but artistic leader. Producer is what we what we had named it, yeah.
Leader of ProX. And of course, you know, with the name thing, we ask the hard-hitting questions, you know that. So I'm going to start fired right out of a cannon. How did you get started with theater? And how did you get involved in the first place?
That's hilarious, actually, because when I was a kid, like grade six, my parents moved and we had to switch school. So I had to start grade seven in a whole new school. The year right before you go into junior high, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And my grade seven teacher kind of just suggested, hey, maybe you should try going out for the school play. To try and meet people and that kind of thing. And it was Alice in Wonderland, and she cast me as a white rabbit. And that's kind of what hooked me, was like Alice in Wonderland in grade 7 in Dallas Elementary. I can't even remember the teacher's name, unfortunately, but thank you, whoever you were.
We will find them, and we will insert that name in. We'll fix it in post.
Perfect.
And then you went... You took theater in university?
Yeah, for sure. Well, all through high school.
Was that intentional, or did you just
end up taking actually, classes? I started my first year at UCC was business. I did some business classes, so I was in the business program. And then I went and saw the production that the UCC theater program did, which was Flowers for Algernon. Featuring the incredibly talented Mr. Steven Sokka, so I'm sure everyone knows. Well, not everyone, but a lot of people.
And that gas his head up even more.
Yeah, exactly. He needs
I'm just kidding,
that.
Steven, I love you.
But that kind of said, oh, wow, this is cool. They're doing some really great things here. Why am I in business? Why did I not do this? So, I mean, they didn't have, like I said, they didn't have a theater major at that time. But they had a pretty good theater studies program. So halfway through my first year of business, I switched over to the arts.
That's not that uncommon a story from what I've heard.
Probably not. There's probably, and even like outside of school, I'm sure there's people that work their corporate jobs and then suddenly decide, I want to be a chef or something like that. You know what I mean?
You know, whenever you find your passion.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah. That's exactly
right. We don't always find it, you know, at the end of high school, start of university.
Yeah, or at the end of a paycheck, right? You know. It's...
what was the department like back then? Because you said it's grown quite a bit since then.
It's impressive these days. But it was pretty basic. There was two instructors. Well, three, because there was a technical theater instructor as well who's part-time. So there's three instructors. Like a handful of acting classes and a handful, like there was a first year class, a second year class, kind of one in each year.
Of course.
They just started like a theater history class, because that my first year there was actually Jim Hoffman's first year there as well.
Really?
Yeah, because he had just started there. Pretty basic. We were in the old clock tower. That's where all the theater classes, the acting classes were, and where all the productions were, which is a lecture hall. You've been in there, right?
Yeah, I have.
It's
like your quintessential lecture. When you watch a college movie, it's that kind of thing.
Exactly. It's a right seating, and then like a sort of a stage, which I guess you can't really call it. Not really a backstage or anything like that either, but... But I mean, we still put shows on there, and it was great for what it was at the time.
But the pictures on the wall, they all look great.
Right,
they all look like they're having at least they're having fun.
Right, you know. Well, I mean, if you're not having fun, why are you doing it? But again, it's grown quite substantially. Like that Actors Workshop theater space is unbelievable. If I had had that when I was in theater, I couldn't imagine, you know, what kind of trouble I would have gotten into
too much.
Too much trouble.
It might not be where you are today.
Yeah, I might be further.
But
I'm kidding.
Oh God. You know what they say though, right? Limitation breeds creativity.
You're right. Absolutely. I believe that 100%.
So you guys had to, you know, use your chutzpah to put shows together, whereas not that we don't now, but we
there's
just have a lot more.
Yeah.
We have a lot more at our disposal.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Which is great.
So you took all your classes there. You didn't, you said you, there was nothing like Trudat or any kind of student-run club there.
There was not, no.
And there wasn't a major, so it it sounds like they weren't trying to prepare you for a professional career in this.
No,
really.
definitely not. Yeah, definitely not. I'm not sure how to kind of respond to that, but...
it's just a statement that I guess you can say yes or no to. I'm really good at asking questions.
And I'm really good at saying yes or no.
Perfect. We're a good team.
Yeah. But I mean, it's good. There was definitely like practical experience with doing the productions. I mean,
of course.
That's kind of the best, you know, breeding ground for a quote unquote professional theater career, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't get into this before, but there was this playwriting competition.
Yes.
Or something that you said you wanted. I'm not sure how to bring this up, but I saw a poster on the wall, because we have like a wall full of all the posters of all the shows that TRU or UCC has done.
Right.
And there was a playwriting competition poster that I believe your name was on.
Right. Which is, yeah, which totally brought back memories. There was, Jim Hoffman actually held, and this probably was my second or third year, maybe? Maybe a little, maybe third year. But he had like a 24-hour playwriting contest or competition, which ended up being more of a hangout time than a playwriting time. But everyone involved would create a short play, and then Jim would kind of pick a few. He picked a few of his favorites, and then produced/directed them. Casting, you know, students from the program and that kind
of
thing. I'm pretty sure the one I wrote did not. I'm 100% sure the one that I wrote did not make the cut. But I might have been. I must have acted in one. That's probably why my name was on the poster. But I can't.
Or I'm misremembering, and your name was on a different poster, and I'm just assigning your name to things in my memory.
Maybe. But that was it was a great experience. I mean, that kind of under the gun. Creativity, talking about limitations breeding great creativity, that's the way to do it, right?
It's just
there,
you gotta get it done.
Gotta get it done. 24 hours is not enough time to write a play, people.
So you completed a play, though?
Well...
Remember, we can cut. Are you willing to talk about what it was about?
I can't even remember. I can't even recall what it was about, but it was not good.
Just, it didn't get selected, so throw this away.
Yeah, it was not good.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. That's all I remember, is it was bad.
I'm sure it's probably not as bad as you remember.
It was
bad. Back and read it, but okay, I'll take your word for it.
It's the first play. The first thing you do at something is always bad. The first time you do something, it's never good.
Yeah. It's just to learn. It's just to get the practice doing it.
And I never wrote a play since.
So you got practice not doing it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not good at this. Let's stop.
Well, you know, you live and you learn.
Yeah,
it's like I said. So after that. You started Project X.
Well after that.
Yeah. Well, I was doing the math in my head. That's why it took me so long. I'm like, wait, if you graduated in 96 and they just had their 10th anniversary.
I actually was involved with another theater group with Wes Eccleston and a couple of other people in my kind of UCC years called Three Men of Sin. So yeah, we kind of did like really small coffee shop shows that were actually really cool and funky and really fun. And that was, I think, where I got the most practical experience, like beginning type experience that I can, you know, think benefited me in terms of theater. So yeah, that was kind of a great experience too. And then I went to Toronto for a year to York University to study theater, but that didn't go so good.
Oh, what happened?
Were you just about to do a mind blown thing?
Well, no, I didn't know this. I really did my research, everyone.
Oh, really?
No. Why didn't it go so well? Are you willing to talk about that?
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's. I auditioned for their acting program, and I got this acceptance letter. I'm like, yay! I'm going to Toronto. See you later, Kamloops. And then I got there and they're like, oh yeah, you're in the theater studies program, not the acting program. I'm like, did I not read the letter properly? So I didn't get to take any theater classes, but I actually took, again, a lot of theory and history classes, which were actually really... And I took a business of theater class, which was a good, fascinating thing to study, which would have helped me a lot with the Project X stuff, too.
Yeah.
And then, like, about three quarters of the way through the school year, the faculty went on strike. So I didn't even really get to finish my year there. So I just kind of said, can I swear? I just kind of said, fuck you, York University, and ran back home to Kamloops. And yeah.
Wow. So Three Men of Sin, that was that here in Kamloops?
It was, yeah. Yeah.
And the shows were all in cafes and smaller?
Yeah, mostly. I mean, we did a couple of shows at the old Clock Tower Theater. I just did air quotes.
Yeah, no,
I'm around theater.
You can tell with the inflection what word you quoted.
But yeah, there's and we did a couple of shows at the Pavilion Theater as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we started pretty small. We kind of did some fairly, I don't want to say big productions, but for a really small theater company, some good sized productions, which again, was great training ground for me as a director and an actor, and great practical experience. I recommend anyone to start their own theater company. Hey.
Oh, well, you're in luck. But there's not really anything like that that does any really smaller venue shows here.
It's because there's no venues.
Well, exactly.
There's nowhere to do them.
It's all franchises here.
Yeah.
There's really no privately owned places that people can do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because you go to, you know, we went to Victoria. There's all those kind of places.
Absolutely. Victoria is a great place for stuff like that.
Nelson, same thing.
Yeah.
It's just really small.
Yeah.
It's a fun size version of like Victoria.
Yeah. Yeah.
there's all these smaller venues where you can do this, you know, these really condensed, small theater performances.
Right.
And there's nothing like that here.
Yeah, and to be able to find the people that are willing to, or the businesses that were willing to let you in and do that is tricky as well. So I guess we were lucky then. But again, it's tough to find the performance space here. And that's another can of worms. But
You did a show with Saucy Pops this summer.
I did.
In Salmon Arm.
Salmon Arm did a fringe-like festival for the first time this year.
Nice.
And they've apparently been in the Shoe Swap Theater there has been in contact with Saucy Fops here for quite some time to try and kind of get this going. They've always wanted them to participate, and they were nice enough to ask me to perform with them, and it was a great time. I had a blast. Yeah.
You guys did two performances.
Yes.
And I heard that they were pretty well attended.
They
were, as far as a first time festival goes.
Yeah, we went there kind of expecting 5 or 6 people, mostly our friends and family, to be in the audience. But yeah, they had a pretty good turnout. It was a great first outing for them, and hopefully it's something that can kind of to grow, and I'd love to go back.
What was the show?
The show was called Back and Forth and Back. That's a clever Cayman Duncan title.
Yeah.
But it's a collection of short plays that Cayman is really great at writing.
Mm-hmm.
He's really clever at this kind of like looking inside of a play and turning it upside down and again running it back and forth kind of thing. So it's like a bunch of collection of small pieces, some that they've done as part of other shows in the past, and a couple that have been kind of tweaked and recreated and that kind of thing. But it was just a group of 5 of us that went there and did it, and it was a blast.
Yeah. I heard it was really well received.
Oh yeah, I didn't know, it was a good crowd. We had some good response.
So, moving forward to probably the lion's share of what this is going to be about, Project X.
Right.
So, how did that come up? And I don't want to say why did you start that, because it's obvious. But how did you come to the realization that you should start a theater company?
Well, it was actually my friend Samantha McDonald who. I kind of
co-started. I did know that.
Yes.
Just so everyone knows.
Who kind of came to me and said, we should start this. And so we did. Her and I had worked on a couple of productions before starting Project X. The Laramie Project, which again was a huge kind of turning point for me as a director and as a theater person, practitioner, whatever. And then a production called In On It, which is a Daniel McIver play that I love, most of his plays that I love. So we had worked kind of independently on those two productions previously, and then decided that we worked really well together. And Samantha kind of gotten her hands on, this is like 2003, on Kamloops had just, the city of Kamloops had just released like a strategic plan for the arts. And in that strategic plan, the city kind of outlined the need for some kind of summer arts festival. And Samantha kind of took that and said, we need to do some Shakespeare in the Park here in Kamloops, because this is exactly what the city's asking for. And if you build it, they will come. So that's kind of how it started, was her kind of seeing this need in the city. And then her and I getting together, and we did the very first show that we did was The Two Gentlemen of Verona. So this was the summer of 2004. God, that feels like a long time ago. How old were you in 2004? Nine?
I would have been turning 12.
Okay, 12. were you in Kamloops then?
Yeah, I moved here from Surrey when I was 4.
So oh, right on.
I've done all my schooling here.
Right on. Yeah, Prince Charles... No, we weren't even in Prince Charles Park. We started in Riverside Park.
Ooh, that's...
Yeah, it was tough. In the Uji Garden, like the Japanese garden that's there by the tennis courts kind of thing. That orange bridge and that rock garden. We took The Two Gentlemen of Verona and we set it as kind of like a modern day Hollywood film set. And the two leads were these big time movie stars who were fighting over the leading ladies and that kind of thing. It was a really cool kind of take on it. But we had kind of decided we wanted to do Shakespeare and put this kind of modern twist on it to make it accessible for people. Because we knew, you know, bringing Shakespeare to Kamloops might be a tricky undertaking. Just because it's, I mean, obviously Shakespeare had been done in Kamloops before, but to kind of do a whole festival based about it, like a Bard on the Beach type thing on a much smaller scale.
It was influenced by Bard on
absolutely,
the Beach?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, obviously a much, much smaller scale. They get like a million people every year to that thing nowadays. But I mean, it started small too. But
so does everything. You
start something. Exactly. But yeah, we kind of definitely decided that we want to do that modern take on it to make it accessible, to see if we can get people to kind of come out and check it out. We pretty much cast our family, or our friends, no family. We cast our friends who were mostly TRU or UCC theater students at the time as well. And it was cool. It was a great. I remember it fondly. I had a role in it. Samantha directed it, and it was a good time. It was fun.
Yeah. It's always so interesting to me how people take those Shakespeare shows and make them modern.
Yeah,
like keeping all the lines and all the everything the same, all the structure, but just like the costumes and the sets.
Right.
And so it's the same story, just in a different setting.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, to make it accessible. But I'm always so fascinated by the different visions that people have.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the great thing about Shakespeare and how his writing is so universal.
Yeah, exactly.
And the themes are so universal. You can do that. And I think I've certainly seen some incredibly smart, you know, reimaginations of some Shakespeare plays that it just blows my mind that people could think of that and make it work with the text and work brilliantly. It's just it's an incredible concept. And I mean, people reinterpret plays all the time. That's what the scripts are for.
Exactly.
But to kind of take what was done then, which, I mean, you know, obviously in Shakespeare's days, this was like popular culture type stuff. And now it feels, when you're reading it, really dated, obviously.
Oh,
and really old English
dated.
And really, yeah.
Even for then.
No. Yeah, yeah, so. You're right, yeah. But I think that's kind of, there's definitely something to take in a standard approach. Not a standard is not the right word, but a classic approach to it, I suppose. But I really enjoy kind of that reinterpretation and modernization of it. I think it's, the world's your oyster with it. It's fun.
So, As the seasons went on, you evolved away from Shakespeare, from strictly Shakespeare.
Right.
Why was that?
Well, so the first 2 years we just did one play. We did The Two Gentlemen of Verona in 2004, and then in 2005 we moved to Prince Charles Park and did The Tempest.
Mm-hmm. Also a good one.
Also in a great script. Mm-hmm. And we set it in like kind of a turn of the century circus theme, which was really, it turned out really cool, I think.
I wish I had seen all of these. Yeah. I was so young.
You were so young, you wouldn't have gotten it. Although the circus thing, I had to learn to juggle. Me and Melissa Thomas actually were Trinculo and Stefano, and we had to learn to juggle for that. You should ask her about that sometime. You should get her to show you her juggling, mm-hmm. her juggling skills. And then after the success of The Tempest, we decided we wanted to kind of expand into two plays, mm-hmm. like make it an actual festival.
Yeah.
You can't call one play a festival.
You can call whatever you want, whatever you want.
Yeah, that's true.
Gotta rework the definition. Look for those loopholes.
Right. So we started to think about how we wanted to approach this, and Samantha came up with the idea, like, you know, we'll do a Shakespeare, and then we'll do a more contemporary play mm-hmm. that's kind of got similar themes as the Shakespeare play.
Yeah.
So we decided to pair Timothy Findley's Elizabeth Rex about Queen Elizabeth, who comes and watches a production of Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah.
And we did it with Much Ado About Nothing, a production of Much Ado About Nothing, which is actually was a brilliant pairing, and an obvious pairing, mind you, but it worked really well together because alongside a production of Much Ado, you get this really cool inside look about an early day production of it. So that was kind of a cool experience. That was a huge production. Like, we built this huge set. Like, it was massive. Like, we had scaffolding built up and like an actual structure that looked like an Elizabethan, you know, tower. Yeah. We've never done anything quite like that since, because that was
a lot of money.
That was insane.
A lot of effort.
A lot of things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a big show. But it was a really well received summer, and that was kind of really the impetus of X Fest.
Yeah,
that was the first year of what we called X Fest, and it's still kind of kicking and going strong. Unbelievable.
Because back to what you said about the city of Kamloops saying there needs to be this summer theater thing. That's amazingly accurate, because it's hard to think of summers without it now.
That's cool. And that's kind of what we wanted to do. Yeah. We wanted to kind of create this flagship.
Fill this niche.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of said, and people started to really take ownership of it too. People were really excited that something like this was happening in their own backyard. They didn't have to go to a bar on the beach.
Yeah.
They can walk two blocks to Prince Charles Park. And
and it's all Kamloops people too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean,
it was at the beginning.
Our first exit, we actually, part of our mandate was to pair, local emerging Kamloops mm-hmm. actors and artists with professionally working actors.
Okay.
So even in our first year, we hired two Vancouver actors to come and take roles in both plays, and kind of create a mentorship, like a really loose mentorship plan.
That's pretty smart.
With it, and it was great. I mean, the actors kind of loved it. They really soaked up what the others had, what the professional actors had to offer, and the professional actors got to really like relive what it was like to, you know, have
to be
that,
emerging.
Yeah, exactly. And to have that fire and that passion, and you know, that excitement of their first gig for you know, better or for worse, right?
Yeah,
it was neat.
With Project X, most of what you did was, you did a lot of the business side, I assume, right?
Yes, not as much as Samantha did.
No.
Yes.
But what was your, what part of theater is your favorite part? Like writing, acting, directing? Well, not writing, obviously.
Not writing, we've established that. That's a great question. I always was terrified of directing. Like even in university and having and taking a directing course, it scared the crap out of me. I always thought, I am an actor, and this is what I want to do. I want to be just an actor. But then I did a few shows that are like, I found a couple of scripts that were just great pieces of writing, and to be able to kind of read a play, have a vision, and then kind of work towards creating that vision just really spoke to me. And I'd have to say directing is is kind of my favorite thing. There's a lot of work, but a lot of reward with it. Just seeing kind of that final, you know, that opening night production is like, wow.
And seeing things come together, Absolutely. Seeing people from the beginning, and how
working,
much they grow.
Yeah, working with actors is I mean, as long as you can communicate with them properly, which I always struggled with as a director, was how do I communicate what I want? But communicating with actors, designers, crew, and just kind of, everyone kind of pulling together and building a ship, and you're kind of leading that ship. And hoping it sails.
Well, that's,
and it always sails.
Sink or swim. Yeah. It'll sail somewhere.
Yeah.
Whether it's where you wanted it to go, who knows? Yeah. But it's sailing. It's on the water.
Yeah. But yeah, directing, I think, is a thing that became really passionate about me. And I think, again, that has mostly to do with some amazing pieces of writing that I happen to encounter. And it's funny, lately, because I've been away from theater a little bit, and I'm kind of stepping back into doing some acting now. Yeah. It's like, I really love acting.
Well,
too, so...
That's what I was going to go on and say, is because you've come back and done now... Well, you've done one, and you're in the process of doing another TRU production.
Right.
So, you know, there's got to be some passion there, too.
Yeah. So 2 years ago when Wes Eccleston called me and asked me to do a role for his show, An Enemy of the People... I kind of jumped at the chance because, I mean, Wesley and I worked together years ago with Three Men of Sin, and I know he's a smart director. And I read the script and, like, this is a really great character.
Yeah.
Let's do it. And then to kind of go back to my old stomping grounds where I kind of became passionate about theater. Yeah. Mind you, it's in a different venue.
Different people.
Yeah,
much
absolutely.
Everything's
but working with those kids was such, and those students was such a great experience. I was a little kind of nervous about, you know, blending in.
Just the difference.
The age.
Know, and priorities and just the differences in general.
Fair enough. They're all studying for finals, and I am not.
Paying mortgage.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Working
payments
for
on your car. Yeah.
But still doing Project X at that time, too. But yeah, it was interesting because it was right during the rehearsal process for that I kind of made the decision to leave Project X. So it was a really interesting kind of time where I was experiencing this, great production with these great kids, and kind of deciding to step away from theater a little bit. Yeah.
Well, were those intertwined at all?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just kind of coincidental.
Yeah.
Just interesting timing.
Because I saw that show several times. I did the sound for it.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
And it was one of those that, like, I liked more and more each time I saw it.
Oh, that's good.
Just because I love... Well, sorry, this became about me, but I love all the little moments that everyone discovers as they go, which is the same thing as being a director.
Absolutely.
It's just all the little things. And you're like, oh, that's a great moment. I didn't even have to tell them to do that.
Yeah.
Or her to do that.
Yeah.
Got to be equal.
Yeah, I love an actor that can create those moments and discover those moments, too.
It's got to be a team. It's got to be collaboration.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's why working with the show that I'm working on now, A Mail Order Bride, the script is so rich and so complicated. So as an actor, being able to dig into the script has been such an exciting encounter for me and an endeavor for me, and it's the only reason that the main reason I decided to take on this giant role is because the script is so incredible. I'm excited about it too.
So now, moving things forward to present day, you act every now and then.
I'm a rich retired old person that acts every now and then. No.
You send your butler to go get you a play.
Yeah.
Get me a part, please. But there's an issue occurring right now in Kamloops.
Right.
Or a decision to be made.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how you feel about it.
Don't you?
About this referendum coming up for this Performing Arts Center.
Right.
But for those who don't know, that joke is a play on the fact that his profile picture is, to the Performing Arts Center. So
I'm all over Facebook. You're all about it. In the vote yes to the Performing Arts Center side.
Why do you think it's so important that we have this Performing Arts Center?
Well, I mean, we even touched on the lack of venue
exactly
a little bit ago, but I think that's the primary thing. There's just a lack of space for the arts in a town like this. And I think if we as a city want to grow and develop, we have to grow and develop in several different avenues. I mean, it's great that we're the tournament capital of British Columbia, or Canada, sorry.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Canada, all over even.
How many tournaments do we have?
Exactly, and that's great, and that's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
But there's so much more to us than the
and baseball and soccer
than sports
and hockey. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always thought, and maybe because I've kind of, you know, had some formative years emerged inside of it, that we've had a very rich cultural community in Kamloops, very artistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking
all kinds,
yeah, dance, music, theater,
so
visual
many dance
arts,
studios here.
Yeah, exactly, right. And where are these people going to perform and develop? I mean, the studios are great. Don't get me wrong. And the Sagebrush is great. Don't get me wrong.
If you
when
can
you
get
can
in.
Get into it, which you guys know about.
Well, that's exactly the thing. Is it's great to have that space. It's just you can't. They're booked solid.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's so not that those spaces aren't good enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there just needs to be more. And that same strategic plan from 2003, where we got the idea to do this Shakespeare Festival, it said that we need a performing arts venue. And that's 12 years ago now. So this is something that has been necessary and needed and thought about for 12 years. And it's time to shit or get off the
spot. Exactly. It is expensive. Like, $90 million, that's a lot.
But it is a lot.
I think the thing that bugs me is that if it was $90 million for a sports complex, it would have been built already.
Yeah, except all the artistic people will probably be like, no! Okay.
Well, I don't know. It's the same thing. We want the city to grow. It just has to grow in a bunch of different ways.
Yeah, and I think the people are losing sight that it will be a revenue-generating facility.
Creating jobs.
Yeah, creating jobs, creating development, creating a better community, enlivening our downtown, cultural tourism. There's so many positives to this building that I have a lot of trouble with the people who have that negative perspective.
Yeah, it's... I mean, I think, again, it's people see the price tag and
and
want to say no. It's, again, fair enough, but...
Everyone's got their opinions.
Fair enough, but...
Yeah.
I think for me, as an emerging artist, the thing that makes me want to say yes is that I know if I want to make this my career, like my life, I can't do that here.
Right.
I have to go to Vancouver or somewhere, or Calgary or Toronto.
Yeah, that's been the same thing for 25 years.
Yeah. And, I mean, not that this will change that overnight, but it goes a long way if we can get those big... You know, those big acts here.
Yeah.
That's opportunities for all of us, too.
Yeah.
To show what we can do to people that make the kind of decisions that make or break careers.
Absolutely. And if nothing else, it's an influence, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'll influence our youth and our emerging actors to say, hey, I can do that. That's a legitimate choice of a career for me.
Yeah.
And if people are exposed to that and open to that... the world is your oyster. I think I've said that twice. You have to cut one of them out.
I'll keep both of them in. But essentially, vote yes, please, but also just vote for what you think. Vote with your heart.
Yeah, but be informed, right? There's a lot of reports. There's a lot of information out there. Be informed.
Yeah.
That's the last thing. Don't just look at it as a price tag. Look at the long-term effects of supporting the growth and development in arts and culture in our community, please.
Do you have any advice for anyone who wants to do the kind of things that you did?
Yeah, do it. Just do it. Like you Seriously, you said you have to leave town to do something like that, but you know what? You don't. You just have to be able to create your own opportunity.
Exactly.
And that's the only way that you're going to get to do it in a place like Canada's Unafraid, is to create your own opportunity. And if you do your research, if you have that drive, you can do it. But I think you need to know as much as you can. Go see as much as you can, experience as much as you can, here, elsewhere, everywhere.
Soak it all in.
Absolutely. And just run with it. There's so much opportunity for someone, you know, like your company, that can really take advantage of and grow. And you know, the more theater companies we have in this town, the better. Like, how many are there in Vancouver? Hundreds.
God, I can't even name them all.
Can you name one? Just kidding.
Arts Club.
Yes. But yeah, just do it. And I think you guys are doing it right. If you create your own opportunity, and that's the other thing that you guys are doing really, really well, is that whole educational element of it, these workshops, and these experiences, that people can take advantage of. Again, that's influence as well. And that's experience, and that'll help, people realize that, yeah, hey, I can do this.
Wow. Wise words from Derek Ryan. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me this evening. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great talking to you. I forgot there was a microphone here.
Yeah, hopefully it picked all that up. again, thank you so much for coming. You were probably pretty easily my first choice to do this for a multitude of reasons, one of which was you had just done my insurance and you were highest on my phone.
But lazy.
Hey, you know. If it's there, take it.
Yeah.
But also because you did a similar thing that we're doing now, and just to be able to pick your brain about that has been really awesome for me, and hopefully for everyone listening. But yeah, so again, thank you so much. And until next time, everybody, practice makes perfect, and Chimera makes podcasts.